Joining us now, Dr. Allison Arwady. Elif, I'll let you hit the button. The good doctor is the Chicago Public Health Department Commissioner. Doctor, thanks for joining us again. You're on WGN.
Thank you for having me.
A few questions. Number one, what's the schedule for getting the vaccine? That is, should I be going online and signing up with my county or city? How do I know when it's going to be my turn?
So here in Chicago, we are still very much vaccinating 1A, which means healthcare workers, and including outpatient healthcare workers in Chicago. And we have sent out at this point through all outpatient healthcare worker employees the codes for those healthcare workers to register for appointments. Beginning next week, we are still doing outpatient healthcare workers, but we are allowing, if there are hospitals or outpatient settings that have any unused vaccine, they will start offering it to their existing patients who are over 65, but there is not yet the availability for the public to sign up for available slots. We're expecting potentially the week after that to be able to really fully move into that next 1B phase, which is when a vaccine would begin to be available for those over 65 and as well as additional essential workers. There will be more information about this. If people live in Chicago and want to get the latest information, they're welcome to sign up for our Chi COVID Coach, which the link is on the website, chicago.gov/COVID-. But unless you're a healthcare worker, we do not yet have enough vaccine available for you to be able to make an appointment.
Got it. We will put a link to that at WGNradio.com on the John Williams page and on my Facebook page, too. I'm WGN King John. I was unaware, though, of the, I guess I have recently become aware of the creation of these tiers, 1A, 1B. How do I know which tier I'm in? Is there a 1C or a 2A? What's my group?
Yes. Sure, and we've got information about this on the website, too. 1A is healthcare workers and long-term care facility residents and staff. And so we have been working through. We've got a few hundred thousand folks who fall in that group in Chicago, and we're almost through getting appointments and vaccine out to those groups. 1B includes people over 65 with a priority for older people and those with underlying health conditions, as well as some frontline essential workers, which includes correctional and first responders. It does include people who work in K-12 education and daycare. It includes people who work in manufacturing, agricultural settings, and postal workers. There's a few details in there, settings where we've seen significant outbreaks, and we will be working to bring vaccine to employers for the people who work in those very specific higher risk levels. And then 1C is everybody with an underlying condition and any other essential worker. And then phase two is when we will be broadly open to everybody across Chicago who is over the age of 16.
I see. So I think in group 12, but that's okay. I mean,
you worked in media, which would actually make you 1C, not knowing about your underlying condition.
I don't want to jump the queue, but you know who I think should is teachers. What category are teachers in, and what can we do to move them up?
Yeah, teachers are in phase 1B, which will be our very next phase. We anticipate probably being able to begin vaccinating educators. Again, this is daycare, teachers, and school and support staff, beginning likely in February. But it is going to take a number of weeks, because right now we're still only getting about 32,000 first doses of vaccine a week here in Chicago. I've got 360,000 people who are over the age of 65, and again, that many in the essential worker. We've got 150,000 just in education. So we expect to be able to begin that likely in February, but it is going to be, a matter of rolling this out over a number of weeks and then follow up again later for that second dose.
Doctor, I expect you to follow the science and not get involved in politics of any kind. What do you say to the teachers that don't want to go back into the classrooms? Are you confident that the Chicago public schools are safe environments for teachers to go into?
I am absolutely confident that CPS is a safe environment to go into, and that's because we have been looking at the science here in Chicago, around the country, and really around the world, that where you have strong mitigation practices, you know, things like masks and small pods and distancing, here CPS has even gone above and added testing, worked a lot on ventilation. We have seen repeatedly that schools do not drive outbreaks. They don't drive outbreaks at the community level. And, you know, I recognize that people are, you know, obviously have concerns about that, but particularly because teachers with underlying conditions or who are primary caregivers for those with an underlying condition have been exempt, I feel very confident that it is safe for CPS teachers to be in school, just like our private and parochial staff have been in school throughout this whole fall.
Neighboring states have sports for youth via the schools, and Illinois does not. And some of the athletic directors in Iowa look at Illinois and say, you people are crazy. You can play basketball, you can play football, you can play volleyball. What do you say about kids playing organized sports through the Chicago public school system? Because a lot of them are doing it on their own, on their club teams. What about CPS, for instance, allowing sports?
So all sports decisions are made at the state level, just to be clear about that, done, you know, in conjunction with the educational settings. One thing that I would note, though, is that we do feel pretty strongly that I'm most concerned about getting students back into school, and then a secondary concern would be about having students, you know, have those sports opportunities. But I think, you know, we are making excellent progress here against COVID. We really are. Every day, our numbers are looking lower. Our positivity is coming back down. We're heading the right way.
Yeah.
And if people can keep doing the right things on mitigation, you know, I'm very hopeful that we will be able to reopen, even as we push out more and more vaccine.
Do you think it's a mistake for parents to send their kids' club volleyball team to Wisconsin to play in a big tournament? Is that safe?
So we continue to recommend against travel at this point. The United States is in a major COVID surge. And if you look at our travel, order, really all of the country is at sort of, you know, this orange phase. And if, unless travel is absolutely essential, people should not be traveling.
Well, what about
we're
this?
Getting
I know you have a time schedule and I do too, Doctor. Under Illinois rules, a COVID positivity rate of 6.5% or less is needed for 3 state days for Chicago to reopen limited indoor dining. Are you comfortable with that number? When do you think can we bend that number a little bit?
So that is a state set number, again, just to be clear on that. We are really motivated to get our restaurants open as long as we continue to see the progress that we're making. We're under 10% here and heading the right way. If everybody buckles down and keeps doing that right, you know, doing the things that we're doing, I'm confident we're going to continue to see that head in the right direction. And we are in big conversations with the state, as you've heard the mayor reference, around wanting to make sure that we can get our economy going and our restaurants open just as soon as it is safe to do so. We're heading the right way, and I'm feeling good right now that is something that we will be able to see. Again, that decision is being made separate from the vaccination decision. So,
I understand that, but I think we consider your opinion maybe more than we should consider mine or anybody else's. Sam Toya from the Restaurant Association said he'd like to see it be a single digit to open up the restaurants at 20%. If the infection rate is a single digit for 3 straight days, I wonder how if the state or city were allowed to do that, how problematic do you think or how safe do you think that would be?
I have a lot of confidence in our restaurants. We saw that by and large, with a few exceptions, they really took COVID precautions very seriously. There is no such thing as a non-risk environment for COVID, and you do have to take your mask off to eat. So there are some special, you know, considerations in that setting. But if we can get our positivity back down and it's heading the right way, we are in support, you know, of being able to move ahead with that.
A couple of our listeners said things like, my daughter is 18, she's going out of town. Should she get the vaccine out of state or out of the area if she can?
Vaccine is not available to people over 18 unless they are healthcare workers or as various areas are able to move ahead if they work in one of those essential worker categories. I want everybody to understand that we are trying to prioritize vaccine for the people who most need protection and the people that are going to get us past COVID, right? Like as a city and as a country. And so an 18-year-old daughter who's healthy enough to travel is not the most important person, honestly, to get vaccinated. I want to make sure that the people at highest risk of severe COVID outcomes, like hospitalization and death, are vaccinated. And I want to make sure that the people who are at highest risk, who every day have been coming to work in our grocery stores and our manufacturing centers and our first responders, our healthcare workers, can get vaccinated, and that rolls out across the city in an equitable way. We need the whole city to get past COVID, and some of that is just recognizing that we don't have enough vaccine for everybody, and these prioritizations are in place to get us past as quickly as we can. As more vaccine becomes available, as fast as we can, we'll be moving through those phases and making it more available, and we will have available vaccine free of charge to every Chicagoan shortly, but not this week, not next month, in a few months is the way it's looking.
I'll let you go, Dr. Arwady. I'm going to sound the all clear horn I've been flippantly saying here on the radio for the last few weeks on July 23rd at 4:45 in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, we'll see exactly where that falls out. But
she
I think
laughed.
That's right. That by this summer, if we have good vaccine uptake and things continue to go well as they have on the distribution front, I do think that this summer is going to look very different from last summer. But that means everybody needs to do their part with the things that we already know work, get educated about the vaccine, and want to take it when it is their turn.
Nice to talk to you, Doctor. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Allison Arwady's time is busy.